while I was working for him, the Lord said to him, it would behoove you, him, Brother Hagin, to look up all the scriptures on the glory of God. And he did that. And he typed them all up, had them typed up, put them in the back of his Bible case. And then when the Holy Spirit would move on him, he'd get those out and he'd just start reading those scriptures on the glory, maybe the glory on the top of the mountain, a fire, a smoke, or a glory filled the tabernacle, or a glory filled the temple. And he'd just read it. And sometime during that service, because he'd only do it when the Spirit led him, there'd come in a wave, a cloud. To me, it was like an ocean wave of glory that would just come in. And marvelous, wondrous things happened. Well, about that time, I heard from the Lord, if it would behoove him, it would behoove you. And so then I began to study all the scriptures on the glory, and a revelation of the glory of God became central message of my life and ministry. And in fact, in 1980, the Lord led me to leave Kenneth Hagin Ministries. He had a hard time getting me to go. Because man, oh man, Brother Hagin would come in and sit down in my office and just talk to me, tell me things. One time I had these two yellow chairs and he came in. If he wanted to get away from people, he'd come in my place. And Brother Oral Roberts came in. They sat in these two yellow chairs in my room and I'm over at my desk. And they're talking about the greatest miracles they've ever seen. Wow. I mean, it's hard to leave something like that. And so I was messing around about it. And I didn't tell Brother Hagin, didn't tell anybody. It's 1980, and the Lord's telling me to go. And so one night at the, we had this big meeting over there in Tulsa, and this lady, a prophetess, Hildreth Brissy, Dr. Hildreth Brissy, she said to me, I'm going to speak to you in tongues, and you're going to hear me in English. And I thought, what if I don't? And she said, it sounded very strange. And she said, when are you going to obey me and leave this place and go out into the ministry? And I was seated in the employee section. I said to the people around me, did you hear what she said? No, they said she spoke in tongues. So the Lord told me, he said, some people, he called me to get out of the boat and walk on the water with him. He said, some people have leaky old boats, but you've got a golden boat that's fur-lined. But I want you to get out of it and walk on the water with me. And so I did. Bless the Lord. Now, that happened in 1980. But in the, and when I left today, I went on my computer. I used to preach this all the time. I mean, I preached it all the time. I preached it everywhere I went. Brother Copeland loved it. And he had me come and speak it at his meetings. In fact, Brother Copeland had a, when he was 40 years old, a spirit of depression hit him or something. And he just kind of thought, you remember that? His life and ministry was over. Sister Wilkerson got so mad at him. She said, what in the world? He's 40 years old. But anyway, he went up in the woods someplace and he took my, and somebody had given him my tapes teaching on this message here that I'm going to share. I won't be able to share it all with you. You have to have like a week or 10 days to get it all. And it's hard for me to, just in one time. And but anyway, Brother Copeland heard it, and it brought him up out of there. And he started preaching it everywhere he went. But then after a while, Ken and I talked about it later. We kind of pulled back. And Ken told me the Lord told him, this, the church has to have this message. And the Lord told him, they're not ready for it. And I know sometimes I would speak it and I would teach it. Usually we'd have a manifestation, be wonderful, but one lady told me, she said, and now she understands what she said back then. She said, I thought, what in the world is that woman talking about? Because there's a place, and we'll get to the scripture, where Paul said, when I'm among the mature, I can talk about this. We'll get to that scripture. He was telling the Corinthians, I got to do baby stuff with you. I had to do signs and wonders and miracles. But when I'm among the mature, folks, Jesus is coming. But when I was going out in 1980 in full-time ministry and I left Brother Hagin, he gave me this word. And I've forgotten all about this word. And today I was looking back on my old notes and he had awakened me at 4:30 one morning and said this, The church is approaching its finest hour. It will fulfill its ministry, just as his first body fulfilled its ministry. But it must be preached to as though it would succeed and not as though it would fail. If you go out and preach this message, it will have something to do with my being able to change the church from glory to glory. And so, I went out and preached it. Now I'm starting up again. Hallelujah. Now, I left Brother Higgins in 1980, but about 5 years this revelation had been coming to me, and with visions. I never had another revelation he gave me that was accompanied with what this one is. And it happened while I was teaching that Sunday school class. We all experienced it together. And so this Sunday school class that I had started teaching, I told the story the other night, had grown from 8 to about 200, filled the whole church over there. And so it was it's charismatic days, and a lot of people, I didn't feel like I had the urgency from God, start with Genesis. A lot of these people, the Bible is a plan. So we start with Genesis 1:1. And we start with Genesis 1:1, and the Lord revealed what we studied the other night, and I'm just going to go on a little bit about it tonight just to review. And so, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrew, every time it's heaven in the Old Testament, it's plural. But this actually should read, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. No one but God could put so much that happened in so few words. That very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. But what's not in that is Genesis 1:2. And Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Hallelujah. The earth was or became, the Hebrew words are tohu vabohu. It's a terrible state. God did not create it in this state. These are what the words mean. Tohu means formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, and waste. Bohu means emptiness. He did not create this place a chaotic, empty wasteland. He created, his work is perfect, the Bible says. His work is glorious. So in Genesis 1:1, that creation that he made was perfect, glorious. Hallelujah. But something happened before Genesis 1:2 that made it go into this state, this terrible state. The Bible provides its own commentary on those words, tohu vabohu. And the first one we'll look at is Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, that created the heavens, Elohim himself, who formed the earth and made it. Hallelujah. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. And that word is tohu. This tells you right now, he did not create it in that state of Genesis 1:2. He formed it, we read right here, to be inhabited. I am Jehovah, and there's no one else. So Genesis 1:1, he made a creation. It was perfect. It was beautiful, but it was inhabited. Beings lived here. Who were those beings? Well, we'll find out later. Bless the Lord. But there were beings here. There was a kingdom here up on the earth. Bless the Lord. I'm going to read you that in the Amplified Bible. For thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens, God himself, who formed the earth and made it, who established it and did not create it to be a worthless waste. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. The earth of Genesis 1:2 was uninhabitable. No one could have lived there. Hallelujah. Darkness was upon the face of the waters. Now there's another scripture, and if you have the reference Bible, right there by Genesis 1:2, where it says the earth became tohu vabohu, it'll give you this scripture. It's another place where tohu vabohu is used. Jeremiah 4:23-27. Jeremiah is a prophet. Now he's going to look backwards at the day earth became tohu vabohu. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. So he's looking back on the day. There was a day when earth became tohu vabohu. And he watched it. He got to see it. He watched it become tohu vabohu. And he watched. And the first thing he noticed was he beheld there was no light. Light was removed from earth. Not just natural light, but God, who is light, removed himself. This was the age of the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs and all such relics, cavemen, etc., they belong to what is a pre-Adamic civilization, one that was from Genesis 1:1. What happened to the dinosaurs? Now the dinosaur paleontologists, or whatever you call them, have all agreed they all died on one day. They think an asteroid hit the earth. Well, I'll tell you what hit the earth was God's anger. But he might have used an asteroid. I don't know. But when he did that, he removed light. And light left, and dinosaurs, if light left right here, we'd all just freeze dead. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. No light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. The mountains, the hills, they shook. God did not create earth with fault lines. He did not, in Missouri, we got the New Madras. Well, I want you to know there are believers that walk that fault line every day and stand against anything happening there. Bless the Lord. Syrio-African Rift. Others all over. California. People are always prophesying. California is going to fall off into the sea. It's not going to fall off into the sea before we leave here. They're going to have a great big move of God. But today, there was an 8-point earthquake near the Cayman Islands. And now they are saying there may be, in much of the waters in that area, tsunami warnings. Well, God didn't do that. He didn't make those plates to shift like that.
Join Dr. Billy Brim and the Worldwide Prayers every Wednesday at noon Central for a time of Spirit-led prayer. This gathering is held on the beautiful landscape of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. You are invited to attend in person or our live stream at billybrim.org. Billy Brim now has a YouTube channel. Search under the channel name Official Dr. Billy Brim. Subscribe today and get the latest updates, uploads, and lives to the channel. Feed your faith and walk in the light of the Word.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org, 1-800-972-3447. Again, shalom, shalom.